This is KFA EDQ.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Hello, Jack Mobile.
Connected to CMN Network.
Chad Mobile. KE8RUH. Morning, KG8H Chad Mobile.
What's going on, Jerry? How you doing?
Good, I'm in a better mood. Just pre-dating. Gonna finish up a few things. I'm gonna go hit a park this morning.
Is Dayton next weekend or this weekend?
Next weekend, but my camping starts on Tuesday.
Very cool. What's the weather looking like? I know we're a little ways out still, but is it warmer down there than it is up here?
Yeah, probably, because it's closer to Cleveland, you know? I mean, Cincinnati.
Yeah, hopefully it's 5 or 10 degrees warmer than it is here right now. It's a little chilly. Not bad, but, you know, if it was 50 in the morning and 65 in the afternoon, that would be perfect.
Oh, yeah, what's that beeping about?
The beeping after every time either one of us unkeys, if that's what you're talking about, I'm not sure. I think maybe it's a on the system now. It's an indication of somebody unkeying.
Okay, very good. Yeah, so I got some last-minute things over the weekend. I got a clean up my trailer. I took it out yesterday and I took a tire off. I took that out, got a new tire on it. We finished up on some of the restoration. The back of the trailer, like the one eighth of the floor, we had to replace.
Oh, that's not good. Was it just getting soft? I know over the years, I remember my dad doing that on some of his campers. The floor is just getting soft, so they had to pull everything up and replace part of the floor. And I don't know what that beep is. It actually was going continuously while you were chatting. So, I don't know. It's a weird thing, and maybe I've never paid attention to it, or maybe it's new.
NADBF.
And I had a welder that I knew. He came over and did some repairs on the frame and stuff. So yeah, we got it back together. Some other parts we're gonna do, but we're gonna do that stuff later. Anyway, just getting out here to the airport. KG8HZ Mobile.
Dakota, I heard you in there. Go ahead. And Jerry, I'm glad that camper's come together for you because you need it in a few days. That's great. Go ahead, Dakota.
Morning, guys. Just jumped in the truck and starting my trek in. God, I wish it was Friday. It's Friday Eve.
It is Friday Eve. That is fantastic. Sean, Jerry and I were talking, and there's a bunch of beeping while we're talking. I don't know if that's normal, something new. Jerry pointed it out, and then I heard it. So if you guys are hearing it when it comes around, maybe you could let us know what that is. Go ahead, Jerry.
Oh, okay, very good. Yeah, I sent Sean a email there on that CW Pokemon, so maybe send him a link to it. I guess the if you look into it, it's got about me or something at the very bottom of the list on it. And creator is DA6IV from China.
All right, let me see if I got it here. Yeah, I did get that. I was looking at it, and I don't get it. I don't know. I guess Chinese think different. I guess they figured Pokemon was once popular, so therefore, if we put its name on something, it'll make it popular. That's all I can figure. I didn't see anything. I just was wondering why the hell they call it Pokemon, but I did look at it. I did see it, and looks like it could be helpful. And I noticed, Dakota, you said the panel wasn't didn't appear the greatest. And the ones I were looking at didn't come with a panel. They're, I don't know, maybe I was looking at something different. Then I saw another one that was paired up with like a little metal panel. But I didn't see one that actually sold with that little metal panel. So, but I didn't look that much. Anywho, the beeping is only on Jerry, because I presume Jerry's the only one on TJ's machine, the LTS, and it has some sort. It's telling us there's some sort of a problem. The double beeps like that, boy, are generally telling us there's some sort of a PA problem, either a little SWR, a little foldback, something like that. Man. Dakota? I'm going to spray my truck off real quick. I'll be back in a second. But I bought my HamQ Pokemon thingamajigger with the paddle on Amazon. So check there and you'll probably see it. There's a combo. There's a straight key combo and then there's a iambic combo. I'll be right back. I need to do.
This guy must want it to rain. I think that's the second or third time this week he's washed his truck. Over to you, Jerry.
Okay, KGHHZ. I'm just going by a car wash now, but my car is, I don't know. I don't, my commuter work truck, I don't wash it very often. Yeah, I don't know why it's called that, but it is what it is. And then I sent you the video, Sean. It's a short video on basically one of the games that are in it, Follow Me. And like I said, then there's another game in there. You don't need any code key at all. Basically, it'll send a character, and then four playing cards will flip over with characters or numerals, and you've got to pick the right one.
Well, I've been seeing a lot of chatter about it. Yeah, I mean, mostly here, but yeah, if it's effective, it's effective. Everybody has their own way of learning. And I'm convinced after years of struggling to get my speed up that there's only one way to really do that, and that's to actually get on the air. And, you know, but you got to learn it initially, right? And that's a good tool for that. Like I think I talked about my method where I use the Boy Scout Ishtimo method, and I carried a little straight key code practice oscillator around with me everywhere I went. I would just bang out everything as I was driving that I could, every sign I went by, like you just went by a sign that said I-75 North, I'd bang out North. And then right now I just seen Four Lease, I'd bang that out, you know, and then Hope Professional Park, I'd bang out like Hope or something. I just every word I saw as I was driving. And I just have the thing sitting there on my leg, banging out characters. So that's how I learned it. And, you know, but that doesn't get you up to speed. And I didn't do numbers. I should have. I should have done numbers more, because those have always monkeyed with me a little bit. But it was effective to get me. I learned it very quickly, and I was able to take that pretty much up to 13 without incident pretty quickly. It's just been trying to maintain and stay at above 13. You know, I'd probably be about 13 to 15 right now if I was to sit down for a arbitrary conversation. It's just very difficult for me to get up there in the conversational speed. And that's, I think the only way to do that is to just get out there and use it. But I think most everybody would be perfectly content, you know, being able to just bang it out at 10 or 13 or something like that, because that would allow you to take advantage of everything it has to offer for like POTA and QRP and all that.
KE8RUH. Yeah, I got to imagine that is a very depreciable skill. If you are not sticking with it, it probably goes away pretty fast. And what is the ideal conversational speed? Is that like 20 words a minute? Is it faster than that? What is it when somebody is rather effective with it?
It's like 15 to 20, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. Everybody has their own definition. You know, I'd like to be 30-plus, you know, but I ain't going to do that without getting out there and doing it, you know. You reach a plateau where you just got to get out there and do it, and I don't. I would agree with Jerry that, you know, 15 to 20 is probably perfectly adequate for a lot. But, you know, my goal is, probably that's always been the problem with me. I set the goal too high, and then instead of doing what I can, I do nothing, you know? So it's like, if I can't get out there and head chop you at 30, then I don't want to get out there. Well, the way to get to head chop you at 30 is to get out there. So it's a circular issue. But, it's neat, and, you know, it's effective. I think you can be quite effective, you know, as long as you're poking in there, you know, 15 and 20. But if somebody is actually out there getting it done, probably can tell you a lot better. I listen to, you know, what I like. I tune low on 40s, down around 7025. I tend to camp out there a lot when I'm just listening and try to pick things up, and I like to speed those guys run. So whatever that is, and they're fast. Dakota, you back?
I'm back. I had to get the poop off my truck. It's been there for a couple days and already started to stain the plastic pillar. Yeah, I think I don't know if we're still talking about the hand tooth Pokemon thing, but that has made a huge difference in just a couple sessions. I've already retained and can copy, not fast, but I can copy a lot more than I ever could. You know, I can send my CQ call and all that crap. I've got the numbers down, so valuable tool. It's kind of fun to play with. I got to get a different paddle. That's my frustration. I'm going to get one of those electronic ones because I hate having to actually engage the paddle. I just want to touch it.
And I guess the next question would be is, how fast do people comprehend it on average? Like, tapping it out is one thing, but then listening and comprehending it is probably a whole nother beast. But I'm almost to my office. I'm going to listen out and hear what you guys have to say about that, and I will catch up with you guys later. This is KEARUH.
Got it. It's kind of, Morse code, the original texting, so everything's like abbreviated and stuff, and, I don't know, there's like a format for doing the typical conversations. I know the Long Island CW Club was doing that, but, there's also kind of like a pretty much a format for doing the park stuff. And it's simply just looking for different abbreviations of stuff. And you miss some things, but you catch others. So, I don't know. It seems to work out okay. John, KGHHS.
Yeah, Anthony, we'll see. Learning the language helps because, you know, as you start to pick out those words, you know, you hear them often because they're, you know, they're the pool of the language. You start to hear the abbreviations, and that's what lets you really get fast is, you know, if 70, you know, percent of the QSO is all expected, you know, it takes the weight off, and all you got to catch is maybe the, you know, specifics, you know, the height or the elevation or the you know, specific antenna, you know, but you'll hear, you know, antenna here is, you know, you'll almost hear that without thinking, right? And all you got to copy is what the antenna here is. In the final part of that, but as far as the sending speed you were talking about, never send faster than you can copy, because what you're sending is what people will likely respond to you at. Well, yes, you can generally send a little faster than you can receive, and perhaps even a lot, because I can send really fast, and so yeah, you got to be real careful there because you get yourself in a pickle, Dakota.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, the sending comes easy. That's the part that you can memorize pretty quick and get the muscle memory down, like the CQ, CQ. It took me like 30 seconds to figure that out. And then now I can bang that out probably way faster than 20 words a minute. But I guarantee you, if someone sent me that, I'd go,
Take Anthony jumped out, so... Would it be Jerry?
Yeah, and I'm almost home. Yeah, that's the biggest debacle with the people that I hear, like on Long Island, some of the chat groups is Keith Wright.
I find the good thing, you know, about practicing sending is if you've got a code practice outfit that you can hear and you're banging things out, you know, you'll start to, especially if you're banging out words that are common to conversations, you know, you'll start to get used to hearing those. Like I can hear, you know, CQ, DE, things like that. You know, I can hear those at the speed I wish, you know, at incredible speed. A lot of things I can hear at, you know, really high speed. Because they're just common, right? You hear them all the time. And, you know, but the problem is that, you know, between all those abbreviated words, you're going to get the important stuff. Like, you know, name here is. You might hear that, you know, I've heard that so many times, you know, you don't even think about it, you know, but you got to get the name, right? And that's the part where it's I wouldn't say it's random, but, you know, that's the part you got to, you know, so if you're running at 30 because you can hear all the cookie cutter stuff, as we say. That's why when you're contesting, you could usually run much faster than you're comfortable, because you know in a contest it's cookie cutter. Everything is the same, and it gets very easy to really crank them out. And so you know, once you got the call, and you know, sometimes they'll throw in a sequential serial number or something, and then. You know, then that gets a little tougher because it's a number you got to get right. But it's the non-common stuff that starts to get that can booger you up. And that's the stuff you got to get. That's the stuff that makes the conversation unique. Man, sunlight coming through my windshield. I got little dirt or something on my windshield diffracting it. Man, very difficult to see there for a second. Dakota?
I'm heading due east as well, and I just realized how dirty my windshield still is. The car wash I usually go to has been out of order, so I've been kind of lost. I don't feel like going too far out of my way to get a car wash. But you just said name here is, and I was able to actually key that in my head, which I was kind of surprised by. So the AMQ Pokemon thing is actually awesome. I'm going to play with that some more today. I've been trying to make it a point to do 20 minutes a day. I think if I do that, I'll be able to pick it up pretty quick. But it's like you said, you got to do it. It's the willingness to put forth the effort.
They show that red thing at the bottom. You'll see it in that video, Sean, where it kind of helps you out with your cadence on sending and stuff. That's kind of neat feature of it. Anyway, I'm in the driveway, 73, y'all. Have a good day. KT8HS.
All right, Jerry. Catch you later. And, what's it supposed to be like today? I didn't check the weather going out the door, but boy, that sun's coming up. We're gonna look. It says 41 now, so it's not that warm. But looks it sounds like we're gonna get a reprieve. What have you heard for highs? I just checked my phone. It says high of 53, but I'll take 53 and sunny over the crap we've been dealing with. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. That's more than 10 degrees warmer than it is now. So, man, I'll tell you, I just can't keep my finger on this push to talk. It's just weird. It's got a weird angle or something for my hand. It's the handheld control head for the XPR radio. And you'll probably, I don't know what it sounds like on your end, but if I constantly lose the push to talk, and I gotta key it up real quick. And, you know, even when I'm conscious of it, like right now, you know, I'll drop it, and it's like, what the hell? Just the mic's weird in my hand. I've got a nice 5127C I'll trade you for it. Very easy to hit the PTT. I can hear you unkey, like I can actually physically hear the key release, but nothing else. I mean, I don't know. You've been doing it for so long, I'm used to it.
Yeah, this microphone is it's an odd shape. You get all the features on it, and so the only way I can handle it is with the thumb on the push to talk, and just shut about it awkward. Now I have a handheld control head for my P25 radio, my ATX as well. And I almost never released that one, so go figure. It's got just a little different ergonomic. It's not as square at the bottom. This one's pretty square at the bottom. That one's more like, you know, like a typical mic. It kind of rounds at the bottom a little bit. And so, you know, my palm sits in there a little bit better. And although I think I hold that one and use my index finger, like more like a regular radio. I don't know. I'd have to get it in my hand to see how I operate that one. Ah, well. I digress. Where's coffee?
I've been drinking AG1 and I've been making coffee at home every morning or getting Starbucks. And I had Red Bull yesterday, and man, let me tell you, when I came down off of that thing, I wanted to die. I was so tired. I've been off of energy drinks for, I don't know, that was the first one I had in probably close to 2 weeks, and I crashed so hard.
Yeah, I'll have to stop and get something because I usually, usually about an hour in or so, all of a sudden I start getting droopy eye and all that. So they say the caffeine doesn't affect me, but if I don't have it in the morning, what affects me is not having it. I imagine that's what it's like. You ever meet these people that they're drinking constantly? You know, they're always drinking. And my father-in-law was like that. And, I never seen him drunk. But he was always drinking. And we can say whether that's a problem or not for someone else, because I'm not interested in that conversation. Just noticing it. But he went again. He's one of them guys that drank all the time. Never didn't have a drink on. Wouldn't go to a restaurant unless they served alcohol. And I never seen him drunk, ever.
AWOJ.
Morning, Rick and Sean. We just call that seasoned. Yeah, you know, I don't think I get affected by caffeine to where, like, you know, the reason people drink caffeine to wake them up or whatever, or keep them awake, it just, I get the fallout of it. So if I don't have it, I get a headache and probably a little bit crabby. And then if I do have too much, or if I have, like, an energy drink versus a coffee, I tank, like, 3 hours later. So, yeah, it's one of those things that I don't need at all. I wish I could kick it, but it's, like, it's such a habit now in the morning to get something in me that if I don't do it, I'm in a bad way. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, good morning, fellas. I haven't talked to you in quite a few days, I think, and I'm curious, am I getting in okay? I'm going into Warren Machine. Usually I'm in the LTS there, but the beep is driving me nuts, or crazier, I guess I should say.
Morning, Rick. Yeah, it's been a while, so hope everything's okay over there. Hope the health's doing well. Hope you got all that stuff under control. Dakota?
Yeah, now I come to think of it, Rick, I don't know when the last time I talked to you was. Was it last week or was it early this week?
Yeah, I think it was last week. I seem to have been on at the same time with you guys in the morning lately. I started physical therapy there, so that's been kind of running me a little ragged. But I kind of figured I might not live through physical therapy, but it looks like it's not going to be too bad.
Well, that's good. Well, they'll work with you. They'll work at your pace. Hopefully not cause you too much grief. But they swear by it. And if oh, my God, come on, Sean. I'm not even going to say who I'm trying to come up with the name of. He was a physical therapist for years and just passed away recently. And, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm not bringing up his name. That's just a brain fart. That's not that I don't remember. Dakota?
I got faith in you, Rick. Keep on trucking. And, Sean, I do that crap all the time. What did I do the other day? God, it was something, someone or something where I'm like, how the hell do I not remember this? And it came to me like an hour later.
ZYQ.
Yeah, I was going to say Joe, ZYQ, and I feel bad for getting that there. But, good morning, Wally. But, Rick, ZYQ Joe, he was a physical therapist his whole life, and he actually gave me a really good tip. I had a, make sure I got this, because I went out of turn there. But I've had a real problem with my back where L4 hits S1 or something like that. It's like the lower L hits the pelvis right there. I got a pinched nerve in there. And when it acts up, I am really in bad shape. And he gave me a real simple tip. And he said, he goes, everybody kind of leans away from the problem. Like if it's in, you know, it was just to the left of my spine. Right, you know, right there where it felt like, you know, I was getting a knife shoved in me. And he said, next time it happens, he goes, lean into it. He goes, move into the pain. And he says, that's counterintuitive. He goes, and by God, that works. So something that simple. But I don't know what you're battling there, Rick. So I don't know if there's anything tangible in what I just said. Wally, why don't you go ahead and make one pass to Rick?
Wally's in and out. He's got to be to work by 7:30, of which I'm not sure I'm going to accomplish. But, I knew he was, Joe was Joe, but Joe was pretty proud of his profession as a younger man, and I think he was probably pretty good at it. So I'm going to step out, WABD. Rick, Sean, Dakota, all of you, good morning. Later.
Okay, good morning, Wally. Have a good one there. And, yeah, Jim was pretty good at that. He enjoyed it. I talked to him on the phone quite often, and he always had little tips and different things. I got the same kind of thing, the same location there, Sean, but I had a laminectomy in the mid-80s that didn't work so good. In fact, they knocked a big chunk of the, they didn't have the laparoscopic like we do now. And they knocked a big chunk of the vertebrae loose when they were taking out the bats. They didn't have fiber discs then to replace them with. And so ever since I've been kind of, they replaced one pain with another kind of thing. And so anyway, it seems like some of this therapy, if I can get the back a whole lot stronger, get some of the weight off it, it seems like it might actually help some. I told them my goal was to be able to, by the time I get done with this 6 weeks, to be able to go down the street 300 yards and go fishing. So that's what we're shooting for. KEAWOJ.
Morning, Wally. Catch you later. Rick, keep at it, man. I'm of that school of thought where if it hurts, it's working. So I can't relate to that degree of back pain, but I threw mine out on Tuesday, and my God, you take it for granted.
Let's see if I... Yep, there we go. Just arrived at work, so I switched over to the HT. But, yeah, it's, you know, mine is small. You know, my problem on my back is not that big compared to a lot of people. I feel very lucky, you know, at my age to, you know, just feel, but when it's bad, oh, boy, it's bad. And it cripples me, but I know, I just knock on wood, because I hear, you know, the constant problems other people have, and I think I'm just, I'll deal with what I got. Just consider yourself lucky.
Yeah, that laminectomy was in the mid-80s there, and in 41 years, I've had maybe 5 days pain-free, and that was when I was in hospitals, and they were giving me the pain shots kind of thing. Man, was it nice just to be free of it for once. It just dominates everything. But I'm starting to learn, you know, it hurts more, but if they were all telling me to take it easy between the heart and the back stuff, just take it easy, rest, and, you know, all that stuff. And apparently that's maybe the worst thing I could have done, because I find if I just go ahead and work it kind of thing, and it makes the pain harder or more for a little while, but then it sort of loosens up, and after a while it gets a little bit better. So hopefully I can get back on my feet and enjoy life like you guys.
Well, like I said, keep at it, Rick. I'm glad that it's working. I'm glad that you're seeing some results, and you know, no pain, no gain. And if you're in that mindset where you know it's gonna hurt a bit now, but feel better later, it's worth it.
Sean must be at the Starbucks window. Probably a good looking young lady here this morning. Enough of that kind of shit. Yeah, hopefully it gets a whole lot better. I can get my butt back out to the range and start doing a lot more shooting. And kind of studying the handgun stuff. I really need to do some more handgun practice. I'm pretty good with rifles, but I need to bone up on the handgun stuff.
No, that was me transitioning into the shop, and I had to talked to a couple of people as I was transitioning, but I'm in my office now on the Cisco.
I'm with you. I like shooting my rifles a lot, but I almost look at those like they're a utility at this point, but I have a ton of fun shooting handguns.
Hey, John.
Oh, I kind of missed where we where we meandered when I was walking in. I was talking to, like I said, talking to a couple of people, so I kind of missed where we meandered. It sounds like we've transitioned to armament, and I don't know what the topic is.
Yeah, I was just saying I was hoping I could get better and get back to doing a lot more shooting. And I love my rifles. I do real good shooting rifles, but I need to bone up on handgun stuff. I mean, it's fine. It's easy for self-defense close range, but I like, you know, fooling around at a little longer ranges. I don't know. It's just kind of nice, and I've gotten away from it, and it's definitely a anyway, a skill that disappears if you don't stick with it.
You're cooking some bacon, Rick. But that's right, you and I still got to have the 9mm 40 cal debate.
You know, I got in the 40 cal. That was the law enforcement standard for a long time. And I got it. And I understand, you know, with modern ballistics, you know, and modern bullet technologies, the 9 has just, you know, really become, you know, a winner. But, and most agencies have transitioned back to 9. I think they're still running 45 down at Centerline Police, which is kind of cool. And they got the big SIGs. I'm a SIG fanatic. I got the SIGness, as they say. But I made the transition to 40 because I had free ammo. One of the agencies would let me shoot on their range, and they had just buckets of 40, just big 55-gallon drums of 40. So I could go in there, and I could shoot all the 40 I could eat, you know. So I got started out with they had SIG 239s for their plainclothes. So I started out with one of those, and then I ended up getting a 229, and it just started the cascade. But you know, most of my, I got a couple in 45, some in 9, and you know, but I had two of them. I had a 229 and a 239 and 40, and so I still got a couple. And and I get it. If you read, you know, if you learn about how we evolved into 40 short and weak, you know, you can you understand how we got there. But you know, everybody's transitioning back to 9 now with modern bullet technologies, what they are.
Yep, my first handgun was a Beretta 96 and a 40, and I got that because a couple of guys at the range club there were bad-mouthing the 9. I don't know if they were just pulling my leg at the time or whatever, but anyway, I got the 40 because that was a lot of federal and local law enforcement was using that, and I thought, well, all right, I guess it can't go wrong with that. But I think it's the 40's a little too snappy for most people, myself included, to shoot it well. I think that's why 9's so popular, so it's a little bit cheaper. And you know, everybody says the same kind of thing, that the bullets, designs have improved greatly, and the 9s are, you know, kicking butt now. But that same bullet improvements have gone through the rest of the calibers too. So it's kind of interesting. I was just looking at some comparisons there, mostly the day yesterday, between 357 SIG, 357 MAG, 9mm, 40, and 45s, and it's very interesting. And 10mm. Turns out the 10mm I thought was a real butt kicker, but apparently most of the manufacturers are loading it down, and it's just barely better than the 40. So it's kind of interesting, the stuff I'm learning. Kiki from the OJ.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
That's why whenever you hear people carrying 10 mils out west or up north for bear, they're not grabbing the run-of-the-mill factory loads. They're grabbing the hot boys because they want the oomph behind it. But that's a whole other beast in itself. And, yeah, I mean, those are all the arguments, right? Is well, before, for the longest time, it was always knockdown power, and that's why everyone thinks 45 is a Lord's caliber, which I won't disagree. I think 45 is a hell of a round. But it's heavy, the guns are huge, and you only get 8 to 10 shots, so I'd rather take my 9 that's got 20, or no, what do I have in that one? On average, 12 to 15, right? So, I don't know. You hit all the points, right? Ammo, the ballistics, snappiness. I personally don't care for 40s just because I don't think you're gaining anything. I'd rather have more bullets and less recoil, but that's just me, and that's my philosophy with rifles, too. I would much rather have a smaller caliber that goes, not that this is not a 9mm any faster, but a smaller caliber that's more accurate. I'll take that over a bigger caliber that is less accurate any day of the week. I got a call coming in. Be right back in ADBF.
All right. Yeah, anyhow, yeah, the 40, of course, was, was born from the 10. You know, they wanted, the feds wanted something, better than the 9 because there were all these anecdotal stories about hopped up, adrenaline criminals, just coming at agents and stuff and not dropping with 9. And this is probably from the old ball ammo days, right? And so, 40 gave them, they went to 10, but their, rumor has it, you always hear, I don't know if it's true, the female officers were having trouble handling it, but I wonder if it's just in general there was, people were having trouble handling 10 because it was stoked, so 40 was born of that, 40 S&W or 40 short and weak, but... Yeah, of course, the Virtue's 9 over 40 and 45, of course. 45 was the sledgehammer. It was like, I'd rather be, would you rather be hit by a sledgehammer moving at, this speed versus, a ball peen hammer at this speed? And, when you're talking about energy transfer to the target, it's, the velocity has everything to do with it. So you can get a lot more velocity out of 9 than you can out of 45. So, there's no answer. The arguments go on and on about between 9 and 45, and then 40 drops in there in between, with kind of like, best of both worlds, better capacity than the 45, but more, more energy transference, than the 9, or smaller, more capacity than the 45. But, modern bullet technologies, because expansion, too, really matters. It's like, if the bullet's not fast enough to expand, then it's not getting nearly its effectiveness on the target. And 45 ball, that was always the problem. It's like, well, it's already 45, it doesn't have to expand. But now, everything's, really well-designed and expanding and, and stuff. So I don't even know the state of the argument right now, but I know everybody's been moving back to 9. And I think ultimately it's a capacity issue, I got this little, my little one that I love right now is my SIG 365. I absolutely adore that thing. It's in 9, and it's just amazing the capacity that thing has and how compact it is. It's it replaced for me 3 guns, and it's just the do-all. And I never thought I would really be a big striker fire guy, but I love that 365. I really do.
UHF Hubs, time out.
All right, I'm back. This is my last, so I'm back into my spot.
Well, that is, you're absolutely right there. The 40 was adult. Having trouble with
probably would like to pick up an XL at some point, but I'm such a Glock guy. It's hard for me.
Yeah, anyway, I ended up buying 40 to that time. I think a lot of law enforcement is still using
365.
I like this Beretta 96. It's basically the 92FS and a 40. And I can get another barrel from here, a 9mm barrel for it. I can swap the barrel and use get a 9mm mag for it in the same gun. And apparently, I don't think you could do it with the Beretta, but some of the SIGs and some of the other guns, you can also get a 357 SIG barrel. three calibers out of the same gun with just a barrel change, which, you know, that interests me a whole lot, kind of thing. And there's still a whole bunch of people claiming that the 357 mag is still the king. It's still the documented one-shot stopper kind of thing, with the old 125 hollow points kind of thing. Now the latest and greatest is they got all these hybrid bullets, the fluted bullets, and there's a whole bunch of different kind of bullets that are supposed to be way better than the hollow points. But I am going to enjoy the fact that I am going to have to test them all out. I just love shooting, so any excuse is good enough for me.
All right, Dakota, I heard you. We'll catch you later. Enjoy your day.
Oh, sorry, Dakota. I must have stepped down. I apologize.
No sweat, Rick. I came in quick because I wanted to clear out, but I'll catch you guys later. NADDF.
All right, Dakota, we'll catch you later. I got to get started, too. My starting time is right now, so I'm going to get on things and figure out where the day is going to meander. Rick, good hearing you. Make sure you check back in. And after yours, I'm going to get to work. W8FU.
Okay, guys, you guys have a good one there. Be careful out there. I'm going to catch you down the road a little bit. KUWOJ, I got to go. My stomach's chewing in the backbone, so I got to find something to gnaw on there. Have a good one, KUWOJ.
QLFL8, Falls Salt Lake Union, radio check. QLFL8, Falls Salt Lake Union, radio check.
Connected to CMN Network.
Go Echo 8 Fox Salt Lake Union, monitoring.
Bingley, you pay what?
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's always those, what is it, the Aero Club does the bus, you go, the one-day trip back and forth.
Yeah, but I never rode that bus, and besides, I don't want to go down there and talk and then wind up missing the bus. I have to find my own way back. But like I said, I did find someone that's going down there. I guess it might be the first time. I think it's the first time going down there or something. So they want to see what it's all about. And they asked me, could I show them around and stuff. I said, well, I could do the best, you know, if I can. You know, I ain't the best when I, so far, all these different equipment. But I do know how to get around that place there, right?
All right, sounds good. Maybe we'll see you down there. I'll be out in the horse track area again. I think it's about the third row in from the street. About, I think it's in like the third section from the front.
Well, all right, Bill. I mean, I ain't gonna be walking around that place too much there. If it's hot, you know, I fell out 2 years ago. I fell out there and they had to take me to the hospital down there, but that wasn't fun. You know, that first day, that Friday, that it was hot, but then the second day wasn't so bad. It's kind of cool there. So, yeah, I got to kind of watch myself. I got dehydrated and everything. And had to stay in the hospital a few hours and stuff. So, well, all right, Bill. I'm not going to hold you up there. I just wanted to holler at you. And I assume that you're going to go anyway. I just asked it anyway. So, with that, I'll say 73 to you, and I'll let you wrap it up. This is N8WJL.
Okay, well, it's looking pretty good for the weather. It's kind of looking like it might be in the mid-70s and kind of overcast, which is, to me, is perfect. Low humidity.
Yeah, well, I don't know, Bill. I still don't let that, I still don't trust the weather. It always bring me a jacket and a hat and stuff like that, you know. And I'm probably a t-shirt and a heavy shirt, you know, just in case. I don't know if you know Charles, K-E-A-T-K-P. He's fairly new. He got his license back in 16. And his first time going down there, and I see, I had already checked the weather, but I guess he didn't. And he went down there with no jacket, no hat and all that. It was cold and rain, and we had to stop at Myers down there so he could pick up a jacket and hat, man. And he said he'll never do that. He'll make sure he checks the weather before he goes next down there, Roger.
Yeah, you got to be prepared for anything. Because there have been times it's done everything. So I always bring rain gear, I bring hats, I bring whatever I need. So, all right, catch you later. Just on my way to work. 7:30 KPR.
Hey, before you go, Phil, are you going to have any digital radio?
What do you mean digital?
DMR, G-Star, Fusion. Well, I know you're probably more likely a GMR, aren't you?
See me with you or for sale?
No. Just for communication.
Yeah, I'll have my Eddie tone with me. So, and this radio, which I'm talking on right now, is a GMR. It's also an Anytone. It'll be in my car.
Okay. I'll just kind I play with DMR as much as I can and learn about it, but it seems the most difficult one. A digital radio compared to D-Star and Fusion, to me anyway. But anyway, I guess I'll take my Motorola 6550 down there too. So, all right, well, you have a good one, and maybe we might see you down there. If we don't, well, we'll see you another time, I'm sure. So with that, AVAPR, I guess it is, and AWR, I'm going to be clear.
Okay, and, yeah, I've got a pretty, that's not a good, I probably should update mine, make sure my DMR for that area is up to date. I'll have to look at the, jump on, repeater book or radio reference and check to see if there's been any changes in what I've got already in the radio. Get them updated before I go down there. All right. And, update your memory banks, you know, and it's a new call sign, KAPR. Forget that AB stuff.
Well, wait a minute, Phil. What, you got a new call?
Yeah, today we've had this conversation.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Well, Phil, forgive me, but, my memory's bad with this diabetes and stuff. I guess the doctors give me too much medicine. I don't know what they're going to do with me there, but I hear that so many times. Jay, I just told you this. Jay, I just told you that. Just that, this. So, excuse me, but sometimes I have to repeat it two or three times before I get it. But anyway, we'll try to remember that. But just for old time's sake, can you repeat your call one more time? From what I remember, it was AVAPR. Yeah.
Well, it's even simpler now. It's just Kilo 8 Copper Radio. So, all right, 7-3. Well, I don't know. It might have been somebody else in there. I'm not sure. Trey, there was. Go ahead. KAPR. Catch you later, Jay.
Okay, wow. Wow. KAPR. Okay, Phil. Have a good one. See you later. Bye-bye.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Hey, I think I'm monitoring.
Hey, DMH Mobile.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. currently connected to CMN Network.
KCKJO.
Connected to CMN Network.
KF8FGS, KF8FGS, WHBPA calling.
This is KF8FGS, go ahead.
Hello, David, this is Vladimir, WHBPA. Are you mobile too?
Yes, sir. I'm mobile. I'm at 24 Mile Road in Mound.
Oh, okay. I'm on 14 Mile and Woodward. Okay. Your signal is getting better and better. How's my signal, by the way? Back to you, David.
You have 5x9. You've got very good signal, clear, very visible, 100%. Which repeater? Do you know which repeater you're talking on?
Yes, David, I am aware. The repeater is FBI 442.6. Can you tell?
And that one's also connected to about 20 others. So that's why I wondered, where you might be. But yeah, that's a good, strong repeater. Absolutely.
Yes, it is a good one. Can we switch over to WHCMC 443-725 just to test it out? How about that? KF8FGS, W8BTA.
I'm pretty sure it's in this radio. We'll talk soon. KF8FGS, QSI.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Kilo Echo 8 Foxtrot Lima Yankee Radio Check.
Romeo Yankee Station, you sound good.
Can you please repeat what you just said? I did not hear what you just said. Thank you. Kilo Echo 8 Foxtrot. Whoever. Thank you.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
Kilo Foxtrot 8, Echo Tango, Quebec. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Echo Tango, Quebec.
Connected to CMN Network.
KACAKJO.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Foxtrot Lima Yankee, radio check.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
KF8, GBA listening. KF8, GBA listening.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Hello, Echo 8, Foxtrot Lima Yankee monitoring.
Connected to CMN Network.